the Lord. Some of you may think you can't. By the end of this message, I hope all of you can. Okay? May I suggest that some of us disqualify ourselves before we even start? Even from mundane, everyday tasks. I do. I sometimes do. Hold my hand up. So climbing the mountain of the Lord sounds a bit daunting, doesn't it? I've got a question for you. Do you disqualify yourselves from God before you even try to do it? Because God doesn't disqualify you. I've asked Delicia if she will come up and read the full psalm for me, please. Thank you, Delicia. Next slide, Ray. I just want to reflect on the verse, two verses, if I may. This is from the New Living Translation version. That's why I picked it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. If you go out and look at the night sky, what do you see? Light pollution, how many stars do you see? Not many. Not many at all. You see a few stars and the moon and maybe the International Space Station. I remember when me and Angela were first married, we went to a little village in the lakes called Troutbeck. It was late November and it had just snowed. The forecast was for a few cold, clear days and nights. Our walking up until then had been in the summer, so I'd just bought some waterproofs. I didn't need anything else. I had no cold weather gear at all, so I had to buy myself a hat, some gloves, scarves, long johns, and I even bought a snud because they were all the fashion at the time. As we were staying in a B&B, we had to go out for our evening meals. We had to walk to the pub and walk back. And because of the clear nights, you could see millions of stars. Millions. It was awesome. Countless stars. Brighter than I had ever seen them ever in my life before. An absolutely amazing sight. I'd never really been to the countryside before. I'd always spent my time in towns and not done that sort of thing. And to see them like that in all their glory, I was amazed. It was the first time that God said, I made that awesome. Sometimes we miss what God's made for us. Yeah? Light pollution. Can't see it here. I was watching a TV program recently called Amazing Hotels. Life Beyond the Lobby. I don't know if any have seen it. You have to be a millionaire to go to these places. So we've got no chance. There was an episode where a hotel was built in the Ecuadorian forest. This forest contains 10% of the whole of the Earth's plant life. The statistics about this place are amazing, but just one of them is that this forest contained 1,700 bird species, which is more than twice the whole of North America put together. The owners of this hotel, they built a kind of ski lift through the canopy, where 70% of this wildlife stopped, lived. And they did this without destroying and cutting down one tree. We don't usually see how vast and varied our planet is, what wildlife has got. Most of us just have a small garden with a few flowers and maybe a bird feeder. Our perception may be limited, not only of what's around us, but of ourselves as well. God made the stars and the planets. He also made the mountains and the plains. He made the land and the sea. And he also made you and me. Knowing that he made you and he made me, gives you an opportunity to climb the mountain of the Lord, if you know that in your heart. Next slide. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands are pure, hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God the Saviour. At the beginning of this preach, I talked about disqualification. This is how we disqualify ourselves. You might say this, or something similar. I look fat. I'm too short. I wear glasses. I'm not very attractive. Although that's not me. I've got a bit missing from my ear, which I am. I've gone deaf. I wear hearing aids. I've got scars. I've got dodgy knees. But what if I do this? What does God see? I'm still looking at the same place. I look fat. I'm too short. I wear glasses. I'm not attractive. I've even got a bit missing from my ear. 1 Samuel verse 7 says, "The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." But what about the things that have happened to you? I've gone deaf. I wear hearing aids. I have scars. I've been injured. What's God's answer to that? Next one, Ray. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life I was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day was passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Back one, right? How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. That's what he thinks. He doesn't think, I've got scars, I'm too fat. He doesn't think about that at all. Next slide. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Like the stars in the sky and the fish in the sea, he made you just the way you are. Not what anybody else thinks of you, he made you. Because you belong to him. Awesome. But what about the stuff that goes on up here? Yeah, in the head. This is where the real battle lies. This is where we disqualify ourselves the most. If you have me as a friend on Facebook, you will have seen mine and Angela's quest, I will call it, to climb the mountains of the Lake District, known as the Wainwrights. There are 214 Wainwrights, or mountains, in the Lake District, and we up to date have climbed 173 of them. I think that's pretty good going. No cheers. It's not been that easy. We've had to prepare properly. There was a time when my boots were giving me some awful blisters, and Paul gave me a pair. I had to go to a specialist boot fitter to sort them out. Or my walking days would have ended around 100 Wainwrights. But I'm not one to give up. I think everybody probably knows that. And at the end of this message, I hope you won't be giving up either, because there'll be some challenges to come. But more on that later. We have to have, during our climbs, the right equipment. Boots, waterproofs, rucksacks, sticks, maps, everything. But you know, the most important thing you need when you're at the foot of a mountain, you want to climb. Do you know what it is? None of them things. Have a guess? The right attitude. Spot on. You can't set off trying to climb a mountain with an attitude that says, oh, it's getting a bit hard now, I'll turn around. Can't do it. If you do, you won't climb anything. Nothing. Angela's got a fondness of saying this, just put one foot in front of another, then you'll get to the top. She's up there, I'm sort of following behind. But I've got to the top of everyone so far. Then you reach the top. And is it worth it? Is it? If you've seen some of the pictures that I posted, yeah, it is. We climbed Ben Nevis once, few years ago, which is the highest mountain in this country. I climbed what I thought was a few big mountains before then, like Skiddaw and stuff. But after climbing Ben Nevis, I came to realise that now standing at any mountain that I'm going to climb next, I can do it. Why? Because I've already climbed the biggest one. It gives me confidence to know that the one in front of me, I can climb too. There are not just physical mountains we have to climb, but psychological ones and emotional ones we have to climb too. You ready, John? I am afraid.
For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you.
I am depressed.
I will go before you and will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
I don't know which way to turn.
I will direct your steps.
I have failed.
You know, if a man falls down, he gets up again. And if a man goes the wrong way, he turns round and comes back.
I can't forgive.
Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others.
I have sinned.
I forgive you. I love you.
Let them sink in a second. That one. I forgive you and I love you. It's in the head. Christiana's fond of this next verse. She said it to me a couple of times. Throw this next one up, right? We demolish arguments in every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. All our arguments with ourselves and excuses about not being good enough, depressed, lack of faith, too tired, too fat, bit of ear missing, can all be demolished in God. It is Satan that wants to hold you in bondage. And you need to realise that. He's the great deceiver. He wants you to stop doing what God wants you to do. He wants to hold you in them, on them mountains that you have. Doesn't want you to try and beat them. In Youth Alpha, it describes sin as it takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. I'm just going to repeat that. Sin takes you further than you want to go, or keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. Think about that for a bit. I'm going to move on. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Heaven's armies. He is the King of Glory. David wrote this psalm. Do you know who he was referring to? Who is the King of Glory? Who do you think it might be? Guess. Jesus. During my research, Psalm 24 is sometimes associated with Palm Sunday. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he was treated like a king. The crowd spread their cloaks on the ground and cut branches from trees and shouted in celebration. They shouted, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." Within a week, they'd had him arrested, beaten, flogged, nailed to a cross. That is what they did to the King of Glory. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, he is the only one that can climb the mountain of the Lord. Because he's the only one with clean hands and a pure heart. Because all of us fall short in some way. But, there's a big but, right? Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works with God, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our walk with Jesus is a bit like climbing up and down a few mountains as things are revealed to us, discovered and uncovered. But we persevere. And if we do, right? Next slide. It says this. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God their Saviour. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. I believe that God has something that he really wants you to take on board. I really do. I wrote the basics of this message a while ago, around Easter, which Palm Sunday came and dotted my, he joined the dots for me a bit. Last week, at the end of his preach, John talked about Woody from Toy Story. Do you remember? And how Woody had Andy written on his boot. And John reminded of us who we belong to. What does that say? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. He's saying it again. And I wrote this a while ago. You belong to God. Some of you might feel that you don't. But I'm telling you, you do. Last slide. Going back to my title. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? We are all God's handiwork. Already read that. All created in Christ Jesus. All read that as well. Jesus can climb the mountain of the Lord. And we can go with him. Because he's here. He's the best travelling companion you will ever have. And that is the end of what I've written down. As I've been refining this preach over the last week or so, I've had a few things come to me. So I'm going out there now. Okay? I think we face, as a church, a new mountain. and I believe it's a good thing. We've got a new elder, an elder who's going to lead us, who's not done it before. And as I was praying about it, and this new mountain that we've all got, we're going to set off as a group together at this mountain. And the mountain, there's a ridge in the Lake District, and the first one on this ridge is Catbells. And it's a little mountain, yeah? And anybody who goes and says, which mountain should I climb first if I'm going to do the Wainwrights? Lots of people will say, Catbells. And I think we're at the foot of Catbells. Because it's the first one, first thing that Steve is going to lead us into. He's going to lead us up Catbells. And then it's Catbells, then it's Maiden Moor, then it's High Spy, and then it's Dale Head. And there are four things. And this ties in with something that Margie brought about some steps. And I believe it's right, so that's why I'm giving it. I think we're going to go through four stages of how this church grows over a period of time, which I don't know. I'm going to try and pray this in. I think if anybody has got any part, a little part of this, can they pray about it if they've got it in the stomachs? And I think what happens when you start up a mountain in a group, you don't want to leave anybody behind. That's very important. And as you walk up, people catch you up. And as you walk up, you catch people up. So your group swells. It gets bigger. And as you reach the top of the next rise, you collect more people because there are people waiting there. They're looking. And then you move on. And you go up. And that's what I feel that we're going to go as a church. And I want to pray that into us. And I want to pray for Steve to come to the front. And anybody who agrees with what I'm saying, to come and lay hands on him. Because I think it's his first thing. Can we do that? And anybody else who wants to pray for Steve can come pray. Yes, Lord, I really pray for Steve in leading us as a church. And it's his first commission, really, into this, Lord. I really want to pray for that as a church, that he understands what he's doing and taking on. And that he carries everybody with him. There'll be challenges ahead. That's why it's a mountain. But what we will see when we get to the top of this first one will be different than what we see at the bottom, which we can't see. By the time we reach Dale Head, which is a massive mountain, we will have influence in this town, more influence than we have now. And he will be there, and he will be leading it. And we have got to trust him to lead us in the right way. We're setting off with him as our guide up this mountain. Whether he has to walk this mountain physically, I don't know. It may be something that he has to do to understand what is going on. But I really pray that he leads us well from now on. And he takes us all with him. And as we grow, we can take that on as well. Because that's what will happen. This church will not look the same by the time we get to Dale Head. Amen.
I'm just reminded of your words to Joshua and to Corbus and Moses. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And Father, I pray that you give him wisdom, you give him courage. And Lord, as Joshua was a strategist to win Israel for you, Lord, I pray that you'll give Steve, strategies that will lead this church forward, that will encourage us all to walk closer with you, to set our sights on the top of that mountain, Lord, and not be content to just mill about at the bottom, Lord, that together we'd be a body who seek you, who look up to you, who draw strength from you. But Father, thank you that you have given Steve this calling, and you don't call without equipping. Father, just keep him close to you, keep him tuned into you, give him that ability to tune out other voices and to discern yours amongst everyone else's. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anointing upon Steve, in wisdom, in grace, in patience, in humility, in love, particularly abounding in love, Lord. Father, I thank you for this young man who is willing to give his life to serve you and to serve this church. And I pray, Father God, that every step he takes, he's taking it with you, Lord, that you are going with him. You are going before him, around him, behind him, Lord, and underneath of him, Lord, supporting him. And I pray, Father, as a church, we will support him too, that we will give him all the encouragement and all the help that he needs, Lord God, that we will be there encouraging him on, praying for him, and loving him, and Lisa as well, Lord, and supporting them as a family with all the pressures that come with leading a church, Lord God. May we be a supportive church, helping and caring and being supportive for them, Lord. We thank you for them. We ask you to bless them, and we ask you, Lord God, to take them forward with great power and great authority, Lord, in your name. For we ask it in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we know that you're the good shepherd, Lord, and that you know the right way for your sheep, Lord, that you lead us by still pastures and green pastures and still waters, Lord, that you lead us in the best ways, Lord. But we recognise that under you, Steve is your kind of shepherd in this place, Lord. And I pray that you would guide him, Lord, as he's leading us up these mountains, Lord. I pray that you'd take him on the right paths, Lord, and the paths that have got the best views and the safest for everybody. But Lord, I pray that you'd stop him from getting distracted as well, Lord, that he'd keep his eyes fixed on you. And that we wouldn't get stuck at one of the tops, Lord, that we'd go all the way to where you want us to go, Lord. Lord, just pray that he'd know when to stop and pause and look at the view with everybody, when to let people catch up, Lord, when to wait for people, because it's really important that everybody's together, and when to pioneer and go forward and lead us on to where you want us to go, Lord. And Lord, keep this shepherd close to you, the greatest shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you because you're the God on the mountaintops, Lord, and you're the God in the valley, Lord. And wherever he is on the mountain, oh God, I know that you are going to be with him, Lord. You're going to be with each and every one of us, oh God. And I thank you for your word that said, he who began a good work in us, he's well able to complete it even unto the end, God. And just as we journey, Lord, with each other and with you, Lord Jesus, we just pray that you just help us not to give up, Lord, or else we would never reach our destination. And with each other, Lord, help us to really support and encourage each other, Lord, as we take each step at a time, Lord Jesus, one foot in front of the other. We're not competing against each other, Lord, but we are helping each other, Lord, to bear each other up in prayer each day and in encouragement, oh God. Just help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that there's two responsibilities here. I believe that through Psalm 24, there is
a mandate to each one of us, including Steve, to ascend the mountain of the Lord. The mountain of the Lord was God's will. And the mandate was clean heart. Clean heart. We've all, God wants each one of us to have clean hearts. He also wants us to have pure hearts, clean hands. What we're doing, he wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts. To go up God's mountain, we need clean hands and a pure heart. It also says about idolatry. That's anything that gets in the way of God in our lives. There should be no idolatry. Nothing getting in the way. But it also says at the end of that verse that we should be a people who seek God's face. God wants to have relationship and fellowship with us. Each one of us. It comes out of having clean hands, pure hearts, no idolatry. Then we are invited right into the presence of God. We can stand before God. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus. I fully agree with that passage that Christiana brought about Joshua. Joshua walked with Moses. He was there when God chose Moses. And the cry of the people to both Moses and to Joshua was this: we will follow you, but make sure you are in contact with God. Make sure you are in contact with God, that you are walking God's way. And I believe that's the responsibility to Steve, but also to us.
Yes.
And I do praise you, Lord, for Steve. I thank you for his humility. I thank you for his teachability. I thank you for the deep earnestness that he has for you. And you're going to take him into new places and to new heights. And we are going to go together. I thank you, Lord, that you have a mighty plan for this church. I thank you that you're growing the church. I thank you that you're deepening a sense of your presence in your church here. But Lord, how I pray, go with us. Go with us, Lord, on this journey. Let us not leave you out of the outworking of your plan for this church.
Yes, Lord.
Keep us close to you, we pray. And our part is to keep close to you. We thank you, Lord, for your plan. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We need it. Go with us, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I've got something for you. Do you want to privately or
privately?
Right. Okay. Yep. Am I still on? Yeah. I've got one more thing that I want to share. And it's the mountains in your individual lives that you have. If few weeks ago, we was a family in the Trafford Centre. And Ryan held my hand as we walked through the Trafford Centre. A 13-year-old boy holding his dad's hand. I nearly stopped him. I was that close to stopping him, saying, "Hold on, you're a bit big for that." But it might never have happened again. And I stopped it. Jesus is holding his hand out to you at that mountain that you've got, whichever one it is, all the things that I mentioned before. If any one of them, depression, lack of faith, all the others have meant something to you, has touched you in some way, you need some prayer. And God's here to deal with that this morning. I believe that, I really do. I don't think there are any kind of coincidences that last week John prayed, did that, and now we're doing it again. You belong to him. I remember being a dad, young kids, younger than they are now. Come on. And they didn't take my hand. Use yours, which we've not heard for a long time. When I held my hand out to my 4-year-old daughter or son, I can't remember which one it was, and they're too busy doing their own stuff, think they can do it themselves, ignore you. Break your heart. It does. You're adults. You're not 13-year-old boys holding hands. Jesus is going like that. Come. Hold your hand, hold my hand, while we sort out this mountain that you've got. You ain't going to do it on your own. You might have already tried several times, but you're not. Come, I'll help you. That is what he's saying. And if you don't, you're breaking God's heart, because he wants to help you more than anything. He wants to help you. Are you too proud? Do you know it all? Do you know it all? Are you not the child that can carry, can take the Father's hand? That's the challenge. That's the challenge. If any of them words that I've said this morning, and you're challenged by them, you need to do something about it. It's not, when you start walking up a mountain, it's not like that from beginning. It is not. You've got to walk to the valley first. And you're in the valley, all of you, at the bottom of these mountains, That's what I believe. Who are you going to walk up with? Because you try and get it up, you're by yourself, you won't do it.